Well, it's good to be here again. Sad though it's the last day, but hey, one day there won't be any last days, I guess you'd say. Well, we would like to turn to the book of Acts. And we touched on this yesterday, but we didn't really go into it too much. I'd like for us to look there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. Acts 20 and verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let's pray. Our Father God, we are thankful to be here once again, especially on the Lord's Day. And Father, we pray that you would help us as we consider this passage. May we learn and be reminded of how that we can finish our course with joy. And we ask, Father, that you would give us unction. Father, forgive us our sins. And we think that the prayer requests that have been brought forth. Lord, we pray, Father, you would intervene there. We think especially of Sister Gregory. Lord, I pray that you would comfort her, be your will, even raise her up. And Father, but we pray that you will make your presence especially known to her and be with those who are attending to her, Father. And we ask, Father, that you would now bless us now as we gather here in the name of Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'd like to speak on the subject of, and I feel like I'm doing Sunday school, so if you have to forgive me if I act like I'm teaching Sunday school, but anyway, or Bible study, or whatever people like to call it around here. Either one? Okay. I'd like to speak on the subject of finishing your course with joy. Finishing your course with joy. And, you know, Paul here is on the way to Macedonia. And he's meeting one more time with these Ephesian elders. And they won't be seeing him again. This is the last time. And we never know. We might be, this may be the last time we meet here on this earth. You never can tell. But he had a message to them. And one of them was finishing their course with joy. That's the way we need to finish our course here on this earth. We need to finish with joy. I think it's important for sake of testimony to those who may see us in our last moments of our life or last days of our life that we leave that kind of heritage to those, our family and our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And but Paul's heart was knit together with these Ephesian elders. I mean, he had spent 3 years there. And it says that he spent 3 years day and night with tears he spoke to them. So he had a great love for these people. And he poured out his heart to them. And but this shows us how Paul did his ministry. And we all have a ministry. We're all servants, in other words. They may be different in some respects, but in one respect, we're all servants of the Lord. And so we can draw from this something to help us as we consider our ministry, our service to God, and mainly, again, how to finish our course with joy. And as I think about, especially as I think about our, you know, these last days, we see all these changes going on, and you know, I mentioned about the economy and immorality and crime and, you know, all these things. You know, when I know that when I used to wrestle in high school and college and in the service, if I knew I was having a tough opponent, I'd be training extra hard, you know, that week or a couple weeks or whatever, how long I had before I was going to wrestle that particular person, that opponent. If I knew I was going to have a hard match, I would be training extra hard. And so when I realize that that it may be that the times are going to be extra hard, I need to make additional preparation. It should cause me to take a double look, if you will, and think, you know, I really need to be ready. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be an against an opponent, I kind of like to win. I don't know about you, but I like to win. And most of us like to win. And there's something about just winning that just brings joy. But especially when we are victorious in our Christian walk through the Lord Jesus. Well, one thing I want to start out with is something that's kind of obvious. The first step, I think, to finishing our course with joy is understanding a little bit about our course. What is it about our course? And I'm kind of going to start at the end instead of the beginning. But there's an end to this course. In this life, there's an end. It'll be over one day. And the reason why I say this is because even we as believers sometimes don't like to think about that. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I know you don't want to think about it. But you got to, because it's going to happen. The cemeteries and the graveyards are testimony to the fact that it's going to end one day. So we need to understand that the course will be finished one day. That's a given. And that in and of itself ought to cause us to take note of what Paul has written here for us. And it's not going to be a very good finish if we're not considering this, if we're not looking to the Lord Jesus. But to desire to finish one's course with joy begins with an honest recognition that one day we will be finished, whether we're ready or not. We'll be finished. But I want to look at four other steps now to finishing our course with joy. We need to understand that in some respects, we are all running a different course in this way. I'm not running your course, and you're not running my course. I'm not running the Apostle Paul's course. We have a unique, sovereignly designed, if you will, course that we're all to run. And there are some similarities, but there are some differences. And so we need to understand that we may not have the same kind of vocation. I know we don't. We all have different jobs, probably different fields and so forth. But we're not called to run the same exact course. It's a course that we're all involved with. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, matter of fact. And we are conceived in our mother's womb. And when we pop out our mother's belly, we're off from the starting block. And we begin running the race. And that's where it all starts for us. And, you know, again, I just want to reiterate that multitudes have died before us. People may be that were better looking, more talented, stronger, more intelligent, or whatever. And it didn't matter. They still had to finish their course. It's done. I mean, there were the great ones that we think of, or they were great at one time, you know, and even the Apostle Paul had to finish his. But as the world thinks, you know, the Elvis Presleys and the Michael Jacksons and all these things, and Saddam Hussein in the Muslim world, they had to finish their course. And it was over. And I remember one guy, well, I remember a couple old fellows where their course was finished. And they, as far as the, I don't know if some of y'all may remember Luther Shepherd over there at West Griffin Baptist Church. Old fella, he wrote a song, it may be in the Berea Baptist hymnal, "His death was reckoned as mine." Well, when I was a member over there, he would sing that song. He was getting up in age and he was barely able to get around. You know what? He finished his course with joy. He was a nobody in the eyes of the world, but he finished his course with joy. I don't think Michael Jackson finished his course with joy, or Elvis Presley, or any of those others, because there's not good evidence that they were converted. But in order for us to properly prepare for any race, we need to recognize the nature of the race. Am I running in a rat race? In the circle of life where it's just going around and round and round and round and there's no purpose to my life? Am I running in a race that is it a sprint? Is it a marathon? Is it a cross-country run? Is it on the track? What kind of course is it that I'm running? A lot of people assume that they are that they're going to have a smooth track in their course, and they assume that it's going to be a marathon. But that's a dangerous assumption. But that may not be. It may be a very short sprint, if you will. When I think about a race, I can't help but think about the tortoise and the hare. You know, the hare was so confident that he was going to finish with joy. But what did he do? He didn't take the thing as seriously as he should have. He was lollygagging around and lounging around and he ended up losing the race. The tortoise beat him. And so if we don't have the right mindset as we run this course, we're likely not to finish with joy, because the hare did not finish with joy. It was the tortoise that finished the course with joy. This course that we're running, we don't know whether it's going to be a sprint. We don't know if it's going to be a marathon. We don't know about the terrain. It kind of reminds me of this. It reminds me of an obstacle course. That's the kind of race that this life is like to me. Is that there's some smooth spots. There's some rough terrain. There's some obstacles that need to be overcome. And what makes matters worse is I can't see what's ahead. I can't really see what's ahead. You know, it helps to be able to see what's ahead so you can kind of prepare yourself to see whether you have to jump or duck or something. But there's one way we can prepare for what's ahead, and that is God's Word. It's a light unto our pathway and a lamp unto our feet. So if we want to be prepared for the unknown before us, the best way we can do that is to make sure that we are very well versed in the Word of God. Because I don't know about you, but if I didn't see something that was in my path, and I'm just walking along, and I trip over it, I'm probably going to land flat on my face. Now, if I looked at it and I tried to make some preparation, but I didn't jump high enough or whatever, I'm not going to trip so bad. But if I'm totally oblivious to that obstacle, I'm going to get hurt. And so it's always helpful to have God's word there so that we don't get really hurt in the process, whether we're talking about physically, spiritually, or whatever the case might be. Getting hurt is not my idea of running a course with joy. Not very pleasant at all. So, and Paul, we see, gives us an example of this. How did he, after he was converted, what was the thing that he did in Acts chapter 9? He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Not, "Lord, what are you going to do for me?" It's, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And so he was wanting to receive instruction from the Lord. Again, going back to the word. And again, we have to be going the right way. Paul was going the wrong way when he was on the road to Damascus. And the Lord got him turned around spiritually. I hesitate to say this because I know Todd's going to bring it up at another time in the future probably. But in my first year of playing Pop Warner football, and I was on defense. And, you know, I was used to the quarterback throwing and I caught it, you know, when I was on offense. Well, this particular time I was on defense. And the quarterback went back. My dad was up there in the announcer's booth. He was announcing the game and everything. And all of a sudden that ball came right to me. And I made my first interception. And I could hear my dad say, "Proctor made an interception." And then next thing I know, he's going the wrong way. I mean, I was getting it. I was going fast. But I was going the wrong way. Doesn't matter how fast you're going. If you're going the wrong way, you're just going the wrong way in a hurry. So we got to make sure that we're going in the right direction. And, of course, the right direction is determined by, "Thus saith the Lord." But step number two is that we need to receive continual training in that word. It doesn't just start at conversion and then stop at conversion. It starts at conversion and continues after conversion. Because we see Paul, what happened to him? He was baptized and added to a local church and he learned for a period of time. And matter of fact, he continued to learn even all the way to the end of his life. But that's what Paul did. But thirdly, the third step is not just hearing, but there was an application here, and I want to look at back at our text as we look at it in Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 17. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, 'You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord and with all humility.'" Remember now, this is coming near to the end of his life. So he's been instructed in the word. He's been applying the word. "After what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord," or we could say applying the word, "with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the line and weight of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And he goes on to say, none of these things move me there in verse 24. "But and neither count I my life dear unto myself." And I think that's one of the first things. How do you apply this? What he's learned. The first thing is he didn't count his life dear unto himself. What he considered his life was that he was now a purchased possession of Christ. He was not his own. He was not his own man. So if we want to finish our course with joy, we've got to recognize that we've been bought with a price. We are not our own. And we're to be living for Him. We can't just live any way we want to live. So what was important to Paul was his life was less important to him than most people think about as far as his life is concerned. In other words, it wasn't all about living for Paul. It was all about living for Christ. And that's where we got to start. Once we recognize the course, we need to recognize why we're living the way we're living. Notice again there, if we want to finish well, we must count living for Christ more important than life itself. Look again at our text there. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that there's a reason why. His service to Christ was more important than his life. In his very life. We want to finish our course with joy. We've got to recognize the course. We've got to realize that our life is not our own. It's the Lord's. And that our service to Christ is more important than life itself. Than our life. He's going to finish his course. We can't finish our course with joy by concentrating on self. But we can only do it through concentrating on the Lord. It says, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, the service, if you will, was more important than life itself. So how must we apply this? Paul had he had the right attitude about his ministry. And his ministry was to serve. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have a fervent charity among yourself. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. This is a servant's heart. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. He had the right attitude, not only about service, not only about his life, about the course, about his life, about his ministry, but also the message. What was Paul concerned about? Well, let's look back again in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. It says in verse 24, Acts 20:24. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count on my life dearer to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What was that? What was his ministry? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, again, I want to reemphasize, yes, Paul has a special ministry to testify the grace of God. But we all really have one. Because the whole church we're to carry out the Great Commission. And life for Paul was about Christ and his great and glorious gospel. He again testified, the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit testified that bonds and afflictions abode with him, he was still determined to testify of the gospel of grace. So we got step number one. He had a proper desire. He's, Lord, what will you have me to do? Step number two, he had the proper training. And we also had a proper application. And he had a proper faith. Which brings us to this next part. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want us to kind of connect these two together. In Acts 20:22 it says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Now we look all the way in 2 Timothy. And as many of you may know, this is a time in which Paul was near the end of his life. He was getting close to finishing his course. So we want to draw a correlation here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, he was ready to be given as a drink offering to the Lord. The time of his departure was at hand. Now, could Paul have been ready if he had not felt like he finished his course with joy? I don't think he'd be ready to depart if he was not sure that he'd finished his course with joy. He's ready to be offered because he was finishing his course with joy, even though there was a danger that he was about to get beheaded. I mean, he's in Rome and about to experience persecution. Notice what he says there in verse 7 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." How do we finish our course with joy? We need to be fighting the good fight. Have you ever read about or even known someone personally? They're on their deathbed. They're able to speak. And you hear the many regrets that they had. I've heard some Christians who had regrets. I mean, we're all going to have some regrets, but it's sad. They didn't serve the Lord like you should. They didn't fight the good fight. So if we want to finish our course with joy, we have to fight the good fight. If we want to finish our course with joy, we keep the faith that earnestly contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And then, not only that, he finished his course, but there's a henceforth there in verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, you may want to experience dying grace, like some people we talked about, Spurgeon. But there is a love for his appearing. Now, that'll put a smile on your face right there, right? That will help us finish our course with joy. But the encouraging thing is, as long as we're breathing, there's a henceforth there. From here on, Lord, I'm going to finish my course with joy by your grace. I want to realize that it could be a dent. You know what the old saints used to do is they would read from candlelight, and that candle was inside a skull. to remind them that they were going to die one day. If we can remember that, it may be the last day of our life. I could go down to Atlanta and get into a fatal car wreck. Could happen. Remember that. And that way we will finish our course with joy. And again, being trained, having the right attitude. It's not our life. It's the Lord's. We are the Lord's. So there's a henceforth. And that's the encouraging part. We can say from henceforth, Lord, I am determined to finish my course with joy. I'm going to be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I see that my time is ticking away at 11 o'clock hour. So I just want to leave us with these thoughts that I hope and pray for the sake of the testimony that we'll leave behind in this world, that we will finish our course with joy. Finish our course with a smile on our face. But if it's okay, I'd like to just read one quote from this fellow who is about to be martyred for his faith. This is what he wrote while he was in prison awaiting his death. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, famed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. Lean in His presence, walk by patience, am uplifted by prayer, and I labor with power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough. My companions are few, my guide reliable, and my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the enemy, pander at the pool of popularity, or meander in a maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up and stored up and prayed up and paid up and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of His. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. May our banner be clear. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a man who is finishing his course with joy. Amen. Lord bless you.